The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation. Mike, I got to tell you a quick story, real quick, buddy.
Another quick story.
No, I got to tell you a quick story. So when I was a young man, like a young Christian, when you visualize young Christian full of hope, John Crossman, I'm still full of hope, Mike. I'm not, you know, you tease
You're
me.
Very optimistic.
I am.
Man.
I am. I am a little cynical sometimes, but that comes with age, mate. But I'm a pretty optimistic guy. But I was this young guy, and I was trying to make my way in business in downtown Orlando. And I had several people say, you know, who you need to have, like as a mentor, somebody you need to watch, Phil Fretwell. They're like, this is the guy. This is the Christian business guy, Orlando. You need to be like Phil. Okay. So that's how I viewed this guy. Like I always view this guy like kind of on a pedestal. And then years go by and then I get reconnected to him. And what was funny is when we got reconnected, I had gone through a recovery in my life from really hard stuff that wasn't in the Christian 101 handbook, you know, my own journey. Mm-hmm. Right. And then it turns out, so did he. And so all these years later, he's more of a mentor to me now, even though he's been through some hard stuff. So I'm so excited to say I got Phil Fretwell, the Phil Fretwell here with his wife, Priscilla. I'm so excited. So thank you for being our guest today.
So glad to be here.
Yeah. So they're still mentoring me after all these years. maybe I'll get it right one day, Mike. I don't know. Someday we'll see. Yeah. So Phil and Priscilla, thanks for being here. And there's a million things we're going to talk about. But the thing I really want to talk about is you guys have a book. Your book just came out. Do you want to talk about your book? Can you give us a little plug?
Sure. We did have a book that just came out. It's called Savage Marriage, Triumph Over Betrayal and Sexual Addiction, which is a pretty aggressive title.
Pretty aggressive.
But, you know, I tell you, John, dealing with these topics, mm-hmm. betrayal, you have to be aggressive. This is not a, make it sound nice type topic mm-hmm. because so many people deal with this. And that's what we wrote about.
Well, I love it. And it's hard. Like, it's both those things. Like, so let me say this to you, Phil, and then Priscilla, I want to get your perspective on this. I really felt like, I was like this good Christian guy. Like, I graduated from college and like, check that box. And like, I got married, nice Christian girl, and check that box. And I'm going to church and I tithe and I go to Bible study and I'm doing all those things. Check, check, check. And I was like really miserable. Right. And so, you know, I don't want to get on my own stuff, but then I had my own real challenge with that, all different kind of things. And the challenges I had, and mine was clinical depression and some other stuff. I really felt like the church wasn't really helping me. And I say, I don't mean the church like the Holy Spirit. I mean, the mm-hmm. big church. I mean, like the localized church, like it wasn't a skill set that they had to help me with. Right. And as I've gotten older, like people who are former addicts, whether it's sexual addiction or drug or alcohol, are some of the best places of wisdom for me. So I think what I want to start with is, it's not like all those things I did were wrong, but I feel like I was speaking Christianese. Like people say, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm blessed. But the system wasn't built to help me in my thing. And so to you, having a sexual addiction and then be able to find the resources and talking about it, it seems like that's what this book is really diving into. Did I get that right?
It really is. And it's really tearing down what I focused on in my life. And that was making myself look good. And not only in business, which is kind of how you referred to me back then, right?
Right.
But also in church. It was climbing the same ladder at church as I was climbing in business. And you had to do that by making yourself look good.
Was that, and when you were in your head in that time, were you doing like, well, this is what I'm supposed to do? Is that what just was in your head? Or was it more structural and like, yeah, I need to go to this next point because that's how your brain worked? Tell me what
it was. Really craving the admiration of man.
Really,
that's really
it?
What it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, which is the same thing, really. It's the same trigger that comes off of porn, really, except that you're tricking your mind into being admired by women that are just on the pages.
Wow.
They're not even real. But see, your mind can't even distinguish that.
Wow.
It feels the same way. So all this stuff really was working in my life in the same way. It's all about me. It's all about my feelings, my desires. And it brought me to a really tough place.
Wow. The admiration. So do you think there's any part of it was like healthy and then like, was it 30% healthy and 70% unhealthy, or was it all unhealthy? Help me understand that.
I'd probably say, in my view, I mean, Priscilla, you can chime in on this, but I felt like it was like 100% unhealthy.
Really?
You know, and because I did not see myself like God saw me.
It was the root.
Yeah. I saw myself as being the one that I had to be my promoter of myself.
Priscilla, what are your thoughts on that?
On him being the promoter of himself? Yes, he was. He was everything that he said, very narcissistic. I'm always right. I know everything. And I have the answers to all your problems. And but he's not that man anymore. He is someone totally different. And God has done an amazing work in my life and in his life that we are not the same people that we were 20, 30 some years ago.
When he was in that space, let's just say 27 years ago, in that moment, were you in your head like, he's doing this wrong? Or were you in that moment like, oh yeah, we're both doing this right? I mean,
I think like yourself, when you said that you were doing the check off the list, mm-hmm. That's what we were doing. Mm-hmm. And so what he was doing in our marriage was something that I said, I guess I have to accept that it's this way. You know, and there's no other way. This is who he is. I just have to accept him.
It was like a should.
Yes.
Like, well, I should do this. I'm supposed to do
right.
this.
Like, this is what it's supposed to be like.
Right. Like I'm a Christian husband. So we go to church on Sunday and
right.
you're like, I'm the dutiful Christian wife. Ergo, I make dinner, you know,
right,
or whatever. And sort of being trapped in those shoulds as opposed to being liberated by, wait a minute, what's God really calling me to be? Did you feel like, I'm trying to use my terminology carefully, but the structure of Christianity in America was holding you in an unhealthy place? And how did that relate? How did the structure relate to helping you get into a healthy place? Does that question make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that what happens is that none of us really want to go to the root of our problems. Okay. Because in those roots, we would see that we have wounds that we need to address. So he and I were both wounded, but we would never address the root of our wound. We would just stay in superficial. Emotionally, spiritually, it was superficial, and sexually, it was superficial. So none of it went to the intimacy that we should have with one another.
You know, and I think the point on the church, you know, the walk into the lobby in the morning and how are you? I'm fine.
Everything's
right?
Great.
And I'm blessed.
Yeah,
good.
I'm blessed. I'm dying inside, right? But there was a fear that nobody would really accept me if they knew who I was. And so that's what we were trying to get past. And that was really the thing that we had to deal with. We had to get over our fear.
So let's talk about that. So when I went through my clinical depression and I took Klonopin and Zoloft, particularly Zoloft for a year, and I was terrified to tell someone that, terrified.
Mm-hmm.
And so I picked three men to tell that that's what's going on with me. And every 100%, all three for three, when I said finally, hey man, I'm struggling with this and I take meds for this, every single one of them said, me too.
Yeah.
Right. Did you have that moment as well where you were like, hey, I'm struggling with this? And then finally, when you brought it out, somebody was like, I am too.
Well, you know, we have had so many of those moments, John.
Really?
We have groups at our house now that meet. And so we've almost come to the conclusion that everybody's got something. So
They do.
but you know, I tell you, we had an amazing time just between the two of us too.
Really?
Because I had my own take it to the grave list. Things that would happen in my childhood that I really never wanted to share with anybody. And God really told me, if I want to be known by this woman, I need to share that with her, because if I don't, I'm always going to have this question that if she knows this, she won't love me. And so, Priscilla, I shared my take it to the grave list. And
I shared mine. But before that, we had never gone there. Okay. Because that is just something you don't do. You look the perfect part, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we're getting to know each other, we want to get married. We look absolutely perfect in front of one another. But this was the part where we're going to say, hey, we're going to be real. We're going to share what we never wanted to share with anyone before. You know, take it to the grave list is take it to the grave list. And once we did that, we realized how we had things in common in that.
Because I had three things, John, on my take it to the grave list that were buried deep. Okay. I shared them and I found out that Priscilla also had three things on her take it to the grave list. And guess what? Same three things.
Hmm.
Unbelievable, right? And so here we were, married 28 years, never sharing really what was deep down in our heart and far, far back. And we've lived with that, the fear of being known. Because when you have this shame, you put a hand up because you're afraid that if your spouse knows this, they're not going to love you anymore. And so it's always a question mark. And so become fully known and fully loved is amazing.
There's a TV show called Barry, and it's about a guy who's a hitman, and he's trying to reject his past, and he decides to become an actor, right? So there's these two competing things. Like, if you're an assassin, you're completely unknown. If actor, you're too known. And there's scenes in that show I've seen that I'm like, gosh, that's the whole dynamic of like way too much out there and not out there at all, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're talking about the discernment of being real and being open in the right context, mm-hmm. in the right context. So that's really awesome. All right. So we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back. And then I want you to solve all my problems. So I okay. need you to do right. that. So this is John Crossman with the Crossman Conversation. And we have Phil and Priscilla Fretwell, and they're talking about their new book, Savage Marriage. And those are two words we don't think about being together, but way to go. Way to go, okay. guys. So we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
All right.
The Central Florida Urban League has a mission to end generational poverty. For our youth, we offer one-on-one mentoring, crime prevention skills, and after-school homework. For adults, we are proud to offer a Microsoft Office Specialist Certification course, Registered Behavioral Technician Certification, as well as Entrepreneurship and Small Business Certification. For more information on our programs, please call us at 407-841-7654 or visit our website at cful.org.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
Back at the Crossman Conversation with Phil and Priscilla Fretwell, two people I've admired all these years, and I keep admiring you. And you have a new book, Savage Marriage, and so that's what we're talking about, telling your story. So here's the thing. I've heard people say to me for years, John, you got to get real, right? People say you got to get real. My problem is I didn't know how to get real. I didn't know. Mike, I think I talked about this one time. Remember when I talked about the Bible study that a guy said we should go through? It was called Voice of the Heart. This is John Martinez.
Oh, I remember that.
We talked about that. And when we did that, it was a chapter on like, write the 10 saddest things that ever happened to you. Priscilla, I came up with zero. I didn't know any. And so I had to go see a counselor and I said, I don't know what sadness is. I'm kidding you not. It's like I had so much trauma. I had just like deleted it. Like right. It was out. Right. So I'm curious, Priscilla, like, now listen, through all the therapy and recovery, I finally could tell you 100 sad things now, but what would you say to a person who's like, I think I'm being real? How would you advise them on taking a step with that?
Wow. Well, first of all, I think we have to come to the end of ourselves, right? Mm. That's what happened to us when this came down. It was, this is the end of my marriage. There is nothing left. Everything has been a lie. And it was the first time that I faced what has happened here in my life. And I think we have to come to the end of ourselves, but we also have to, not to be the Christian-y word, but run to God, because he does have the solution to this. A lot of times I feel like we always want to run to our friends and figure out what to do next. But he does have a way out.
Yeah, I think, this thing on being real, sometimes we tackle that just like it's a natural problem, like tell me what's for lunch. Right? But it's not that. There's a spiritual answer to sadness. There's a spiritual answer to depression. There's a spiritual answer to all these terrible things.
To anxiety, right? Yeah.
And see, that's only going to come as what Priscilla described. You have to run to God for this. Yeah. And so,
easier to run to a checkoff list. What do I have to do to get this right?
Yeah,
I was at church on time, right. And I was dressed appropriately,
yeah.
And I said amen at the right moment. I praised, clapped at the right moment. And I listen, when I say that, I'm making them joking and being a little silly. I do not want to come across disrespectful to going to church or worshiping. We need to do those. They're wonderful things. I just was missing something.
Yeah.
You were missing the same thing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was missing the true intimacy with God and with my spouse. And I think that's probably the biggest thing we learned through this is that when we were wanting to become real with another, each other, your question, right? we learned that the realness was only going to happen as we were able to share the same spiritual intimacy with each other as we have with God. You know, Jesus spoke to the disciples and said, hey, I want you to be as intimate, as close, as unified with each other as you are with me. And I am with the Father, which is an amazing thing. And when we started trying to get to know one another spiritually, rather than just emotionally or sexually, our whole world changed. Because most spouses do not know their spouse spiritually. They endeavor to know them emotionally and sexually, but as far as understanding the thoughts and intentions of their heart towards God, they just don't get there.
Listen, I mean, you're saying that, and that's an easy one to go, yeah, sure, Phil, I totally agree with you. I don't know what he's talking about. Like, I mean, that's a big thing. I mean,
it is.
Like if you say, do I know my wife sexually and emotionally? I don't tell my wife I went on the radio and talked about us sexually. Don't tell her that. Let's keep that a secret. But spiritually, like, huh? Like, you know, I think I do. Like, I think I do. Does she know me? I mean, that's a good question, and I don't know that I totally know what the answer is. Does the book tell me the answer? By the way,
it does. It does.
I should read it. Oh, good. All right, that's helpful. So let me ask you this. How did your marriage survive this?
Oh, wow.
And a short, quippy radio answer.
You know, one thing happened that it was a godsend, okay? It was a ministry called Whatever It Takes Ministries. Hmm. And if God hadn't placed this before us, we would not be here before you right now. Mm-hmm. We would probably been living in separate homes and divorced. But God placed someone in our life who had Whatever It Takes Ministry be a part of their life. And they quickly said, you got to go there.
Yeah, and this guy, Paul Speed, really pointed us. But he said that the key here isn't doing all the things that everybody else does. Otherwise, we're going to experience a 5 to 10 year recovery process, just like everybody else.
And we didn't have 5 to 10 years.
No, we didn't. And so what we did is we said, we're going to go absolutely transparent with one another, with just about everybody we know as well. In complete humility and brokenness. And that's really what God did. It was the grace of God in our life. And this is not one of those things that you just say, hey, I'm going to get the grace of God. I mean, you position yourself to receive it. You don't go and just do it. It's something you receive. And the brokenness and humility that we went through positioned us to receive grace from God that allowed us to, Priscilla, really, to forgive me. And then as she started sharing things with me, or some things I forgave her about, right? But it really did. It changed our life.
Wow. Wow. Did you want to add anything to that, Priscilla?
No. He did a great job.
He did a great job. You know, I know a guy. I don't know if I'm not going to tell the whole story, but, you know, Phil and I were talking about this, and he's contemporary, and he went through this terrible divorce. And so, again, good Christian couple, all that stuff. After the divorce, she wrote a book about it, right? And it was like, fiction, but it was really about them. And I'm not making this up. We were in Bible study. He was on the other side of the room, and I texted him and I said, did you know your wife wrote a book? And all of a sudden he looked up like, oh, the rest of the story is this gal borrowed a bunch of money. She had a movie made. And what's funny is, like, when I was watching the movie, it's a terrible movie, but you can buy it, but it's real actors in it, the story of their marriage. And I was watching the movie and I was kind of like, oh, I remember when that happened. Right. But the whole thing was, it was the exact opposite of you guys. Like, it was totally out of narcissism and ego and I'm right and justice and no level of humility. And so when I think about that situation, I'm talking hundreds and thousands of dollars must have been spent. Hmm. And yet when I think about each of them, of course, not only are they divorced, they've both been married again, divorced again, married again, divorced again. Like, the levels, like, you could go that direction and never admit to all the bad stuff. Or you could go your direction and humble yourself and put it out there. And then, but man, that first time you did that must have been crazy hard.
It was the hardest conversation I've ever had to have with anybody, but I knew I needed to have it.
And it looked like he was having a nervous breakdown.
Oh, I bet.
So from going from someone who has it all together and knows everything to someone who's breaking down and just everything is wrong. Everything in me is broken. Two different people.
I know that experience.
It's crazy. But you know, it's interesting, John, that my confession, my brokenness, my humility, and it was devastating, right? It pushed Priscilla to a special place in her life too.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny, Phil, when you first told me the story, I got it and it was awkward for me to hear. And it's not awkward because of you. It's awkward because of my own junk, right?
Mm-hmm,
that's just part of my own thing. But I thank you for sharing it with me. I feel like you gave me a gift by sharing that with me, and it's helped stretch me. It's got me in a healthier place. And so I thank you for it, even though it was awkward to receive it.
That was probably 4 years ago, one day at lunch, I think, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was funny too, because I remember one time, I don't know if we were talking or emailing or something, and you said, John, why do you think God has us talking to each other? And I said, I don't know. And I didn't know, but I don't know. I felt some sort of connectivity there. And then here we are on this radio show. Exactly. So I guess this was it.
You know, I was thinking about that conversation just the other day.
Really?
Yeah. Because I remember us having, why are we meeting?
Yeah.
You know?
And again, when I remember, I didn't exactly know, but I knew, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't have this exact thing. All right. So somebody's listening to this show and they're in a dark place, but nobody knows it. What do they do? If somebody's hearing this, and I mean, it could be a porn addiction, it could be narcissism, it could be alcoholism, it could be any number of things, right? Or it could be a collective of things. What would you tell them? What would your advice be? Is like, what's the first step?
Don't bury it just with yourselves, because see, we had a failed start at this. 10 years into our marriage, Priscilla found out I was looking at porn, and we decided to bury it, keep it to ourselves, run with it, don't tell anybody. And that's what happened. And then 18 years later, it's not just porn, but it's massage parlors. It's other things. Right. And so now we've got a gigantic problem, and we knew we couldn't deal with it the same way. So we had to bring other people into it. And we started with our children and our extended family, and then went on to other people like you, who mm-hmm. I presented myself as a hypocrite to. And, what would you add, Priscilla?
Yeah, I think it's taking everything that's in darkness and bringing it out into the light, being able to see ourselves as who we really are. You know, we lived fake lives for 28 years, and we don't want to be fake anymore. We don't want to wear the Christian-y mask that we wear and pretend that everything is okay. It's not okay. We're all hurting individuals.
Have there been people who can't deal with it? Like, have you hit that moment too, where there's some people are like...
Like when we share?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And I tell you, the toughest people, John, to deal with are religious people.
Mm.
And I'm not saying that in a ways of having an affinity for religion, but it's like, you know, when you're going through the checkoff list?
Yeah.
You know, that the do's and the don'ts define your relationship with God. Because, see, that's where I was. So I know people like that, because I was really like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, if we come up and start talking about being real, it's a very tough place to be if you're wanting to look really, really good and religious.
I've seen people that I think maybe in their background had a lot of pain and hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're kind of living a fantasy, whatever that is. And then they live in that fantasy, so they don't have to deal with reality. And so I think when you guys come along, I think when I come along, it's like when I start talking about race, right? Like, there's people like, you know, it's funny. I used to do a message. I used to do it at First Baptist, some of churches, and it was like, why Christians are called to serve the poor. And I told my wife, I said, half the time I get a standing ovation, and the other half the time I think they want to murder me. And so my wife came and sat in with us. She's like, what is it you're saying that's so offensive? And I'm like, I'm reading scripture. Like, if we were to say, let's talk about scripture, what scripture says about prison ministry, right? Like, we start really reading scripture and talking about it, it goes to some hard stuff, mm-hmm. right? And so, but that must be painful as well. Well, I thank you guys so much. I thank you for making me stretch my own muscles, right? And I do want to say to you, to specifically to you, Phil, like, you know, I admired you so much when I was a young man, and now I'm a middle-aged man, and I admire you more, like, because you now have more to give, right? You have more tools in your toolbox, and you have more wisdom, and that's a beautiful thing.
Well, thank you so much, John. It's been lots of things happen over a long period of life, you know.
Gotcha. Well, Phil, Priscilla, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate you being here and talking about your book, Savage Marriage. I'm a cheerleader. I'm in it somehow. I think I'm a 4 or 5 chapters. No, that's not true. I'm just a little endorsement. But I thank you for being here in the Crossman Conversation. God bless you and all the stuff you're doing. And just know that I love you. I'm a big fan. This is John Crossman, the Crossman Conversation. As always, support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation. produced by Crossman Career Builders, Mark Radio Production.